Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Miss Tara, myself, Sandy, and two young men. Introduce yourself.
I'm Dalton.
And I'm Grant.
And where do y'all go to school?
We don't know their last name.
Where do you go to school?
I go to University of Nebraska, Omaha.
I go to Liberty University.
Yahoo, right? Okay, yeah. So we are continuing on in James 7 through 20. And last time we talked more about being patient and grumbling and how we're not supposed to grumble. And we're going to continue on. We're going to find out what we need to know about God in this passage.
Yeah. Okay. One, I wanted to say something in attachment to last time. When I studied the passage and was preparing, it really surprised me that the word grumbling and groaning had double meaning depending on how we use it. And that if I am groaning for God and the kingdom of God, that is healthy and good. If I am grumbling against people and circumstances, that's toxic and it's not. And so just thinking through what that looks like in our heart. And that leads us into the next question. Why do you think that James reminded them of Jesus and reminds them about God? And so what I want us to do this time is Dalton's going to read through the passage for us in James 7 through 20. I want us to listen with the heart. What can I learn about Jesus in this? And what can I learn about God as James is writing this letter to encourage them? Go ahead, Dalton.
This is out of the New King James Version. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
That's so good. It's so much fun. I had two things down the first time I went through and did this. That's like, oh, I'm going to point these two out. And as Dalton was reading, I'm like, oh, I didn't get that and I didn't get that. So I got two more. I love the word of God. Okay, so we're asking the question, why did James want them to remember Jesus and things about the Lord? And so some of the things as we read through the passage or discuss it, we'll realize that we'll make an assumption based on how it's worded. And some of them it's going to be clearly stated. So what are some things that popped out to you guys that we can learn about? We'll start with Jesus because we've been saying his all along. What were the two things that we can take about Jesus?
The Lord is coming.
Yeah, we need to wait on Jesus' return, and his coming is near. Okay, did you guys see anything else that stood out that we need to pay attention to?
I mean, the one sentence that literally just says, the Lord is very compassionate and merciful.
Very good. And so that he's kind, and yours says compassionate, and that he is merciful. My translation says full of tenderness and mercy. And so I wrote down full of tender mercies. So God is kind and he is tender.
He's faithful.
Is that what your translation says?
I mean, that's kind of just what I got.
Okay, from it. All right, that's good that he's faithful. Sandy, did you catch any others?
Mine was just full of compassion and mercy.
Okay, so those were the ones that stood out that were really obvious to me the first time. But this time when Dalton read it, you guys, that he's judge. Hmm. Don't grumble and complain against each other or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. And so we have to recognize that there will be a point in time where we're held accountable for every word and for every deed, and that the Lord is the one that judges us. And that's not intended to scare us. That's intended to us to actually, I would think, to have peace, because if we have Christ in us, he has reconciled us before God. That's what the gift is that Christ has done. It's just an acknowledgement that you guys don't judge each other, because God's the one he's the judge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's the judge. Let him be the one that determines how people are disciplined. It's not our responsibility. The other thing that stood out is that the Lord answers prayer. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so and acknowledging the fact that he brings to their reminder that, okay, you need to know, yes, he's judge, but he's kind. He's compassionate. He's merciful. He's tender. And he answers our prayers. Do you see how he is showing to them the character of God? And so as they are dispersed all over the place, they need to be remembering that. And I have taught for years to my students and to my peeps, my children, that you need to know the character of God. When you know the character of God, you understand your own character. Your character changes once you understand the character of God. And in this last year, I have had God do a sweet thing for me, and that probably about last spring sometime, I started praying pretty regularly, God is good. He's good at what he does. He's good at completing his work. And I would pray that over and over, just like it was something that became a part of my prayer pattern. And but the thing that stood out the most was that God is just good at what he does. Mm-hmm. And that he's faithful to complete. He's good at faithfully completing what he's working on. And I the other day was praying and realized God had actually put that in my prayer pattern. And I didn't even know it, in preparation for what would happen with the announcement of grace closing. Mm. Because I had prayed it so much that when the announcement came, I caught myself on a regular basis saying out loud to people when the grief or sadness would hit, I would say to them, God is good. He's good at what he does. And he's faithful and good to complete it. And this grace closing is not a surprise to God. God is good. He's good at what he does, and he's good and faithful to complete it. And because it had been a part of my prayer pattern, I found tremendous comfort, and I was able to share that with others as we're going through the process, but I was also able to hold that dear in my heart whenever my heart would start to want to grumble and complain or be afraid, not be courageous, not be patient in the circumstances. And I really believe it gave me a greater sense of peace and patience because I had already prayed that into my life. And here he's telling them, you need to be thinking on these things. Jesus is coming back. He's near. God is judge. But it's okay because he's merciful. He's tender. He's compassionate. And he answers your prayers. Wow. I'm like, so many amazing letters to this. You know, we read through it and we just don't realize how much power, impact he has put into this short little letter to the people that have been dispersed and what they would have been feeling in those circumstances. When you hear these descriptions, what does this do for your heart toward God? Wow, you're quiet.
I mean, it's a big question. Because I mean, we see that he's judged, but then we see he's compassionate, and then he answers prayers. And like even after that, we see like that he's the Redeemer. because it talks about bringing brother or other people to Christ.
Aha! And, you added another one.
Mm-hmm. But it's definitely interesting to look at because one of the first things you see is he's judge. So at first thing, it's like you might have a negative connotation of that, like I'm gonna feel this shame because I know that I've done these wrong things, and that God is gonna judge me for them. But then it goes through, and it's like, okay, he's compassionate, he's merciful, and he answers prayer, and he's redeeming. So it's like it kind of brings you through that, like, it kind of first hits you with that, like, just awe of God, because, like, he's judge, and, like, wow, like, I feel shame before God because I'm not even, like, worthy of him. He's the judge, and boy, have I messed up. But then it takes you through the process of, like, okay, like, that doesn't mean that, like, wow, I mean, too bad.
No, right.
He is faithful to complete his good work in you and redeem you through his mercy and through his answering of prayers.
Mm-hmm. It's so humbling.
Yeah, and when we follow him, he loves to bless us.
Yeah.
When we obey. Or like it's when so the sinners beautiful. Bring the sinner back.
Right.
Restoration.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
I think also, I know because so much of what I do is the discipling one-on-one and just that recognizing when I can see this big picture of what God's doing. Because in a way, he's giving them the big vision of what God's done and what God's accomplishing. You know, he's judge. What? He's provided Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he is coming back and he is near. So you have the Holy Spirit in you. And so reminding them that the promise is in them and then that they have God at work in them. It just humbles me. It makes me just so thankful for our God. And then he takes them to the next step and he says, okay, so you've looked at, you have to be patient. You have considered the others. You've now looked at how you're not supposed to grumble and complain and you recognize the things of God. And then he gives them a challenge. And in this challenge, he's reminding them that those that honor those who persevere and they persevere well, the people that persevere well are the people that are honored. And so he says, so it's worth it. Mm-hmm. This struggle you are going through, it's worth it. That the people that do honor God and endure in their suffering, they're the ones that receive honor. They receive blessing. And that actual word is makarizomen. I just totally killed that. Or macrothymia, which is going back and it connects back into the patience. But it's the word blessed. And it's the reminder of what was said in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And so it's the reminder that they have that blessing and that as they're going through these trials and tribulations, that they will be blessed. So Grant, if you would, real quick, turn to James 1, and we're going to read verses 2 through 4. And we'll see that in a way, he's actually bringing completion what he started the letter off with.
Okay. The Holman Version. Okay. Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, but endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing.
Full circle. Yeah. So what is happening as they're going through this trial?
I mean, their faith is being tested.
Mm-hmm. And a mature work is happening. And so our circumstances, as hard as they may be, it's because God's growing us. So let's go back to how we said that frustration comes in. And when frustration comes in, that's when it's when we're challenged in situations in a way that didn't meet our expectations. When something that really matters to us, something gets in the way of what we're striving towards. And when we feel things are working against what we're trying to do. And that the more intense it is, the more intense our response will be. And yet here it's saying it's worth it. You're actually blessed if you're willing to persevere because God is good. He's good at what he does, and he's good at completing what he has begun. And so it may not be easy, but it's something we should rejoice in because of what we know about God. Isn't that beautiful? I'm like, oh, I love it. And so having us getting our reflection where it needs to be. Okay, the next thing that he takes them to is that as we're doing this, he wants them, he has the challenge in verse 12. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else, just simple yes or a simple no, so that you will not sin and be condemned. Why is it he's telling them to guard what they say?
Well, I feel like oaths can cause, like, just with everything else he's talked about in this passage, I feel like oaths, like, regardless of what it is, you know, if I make an oath to another believer that I'm going to help him do this, and then I don't, or like something comes up, then that causes me not to be patient. So it's like everything that we've talked about so far, I feel like oaths cause you to do to like be contrary to that. Because then you grumble with other believers. Yeah. You like have like strife between. I mean, I can say from experience that has happened where like I'll say I'm definitely going to do this. Like I promise. And then whether I can't or something comes up and it complicates things, and then you're just, you know, your relationship with that person is like hurt and it's like bad. I feel like that is specifically what he's saying here. It's like, if you say yes, then let it be yes. But don't say like, especially saying like, you know, I swear that I'll do this, because then it's like a binding contract.
Right.
Know? Binding
right.
is the word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Non-binding. Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with like standing out from other people, because like even, not even this section, but even before, when it's talking about not complaining, it's like, okay, you know, like, don't do that, because, like, don't complain against one another, because that's going to, like, make you stand out amongst the other people. So same thing here. It's like, other people, like, their yes and their no, you know, it's like, it may mean that or not, but, like, they have to affirm it. They have to be like, oh, I'm going to give you this oath to prove that my yes is my yes and my no is my no. So it's like, okay, well, what good is their yes or their no if they have to swear for it to be true? Because it's like, okay, so they're just lying otherwise? So, like, one, it's there to stand out. But then, two, I remember seeing elsewhere, I can't remember where at, though, it talking about how, like, when we swear, it's like you're swearing by something, you know? And it's like you're assuming authority over all of these different things that it's like you have no authority over. It's like, oh, I swear by heaven that I'm not going to do this. It's like, what right do you have to swear by heaven, you know, like, or different things like that? Or, and then I even saw it bring up, like, oh, if you, like, swear by your own body, it's like God created your body. Like, you don't really have complete ownership to be like, okay, like, this is, like, I have complete authority over this to use this as, like, my piece and a part of this promise, you know?
All the wisdom. All the wisdom. Boys, my goodness. Grant, and how old are you now?
I am 19.
I know. I would have said 18, but he's 19. He had a birthday while he was gone, and we didn't get to be with him. Oh, sadness. Oh, good stuff. Okay, so letting our yes be yes and our no be no, it allows people to trust us. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.